I can afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis. And today, Ezra.
Yeah?
This is a good one. I'm excited for this one. This episode is called Changes, and we're going to discuss changes.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss, like, there's always changes going on, like you're born, and then you grow up, and then you stop wearing diapers. And then you get older and you start to lose your hair and you start to get gray hair.
Yep.
I'm wearing Invisalign.
Not you are.
Not right now, but
no.
I took it out to record. But yeah, I'm trying to change a space in the bottom of my teeth, my lower jaw.
This podcast is in honor of my dad's Invisalign.
It's not. So you have gone through many, many changes in a short span of 18 years.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about some, and we're going to talk about all of them.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a summer.
Yes.
Because tomorrow's Monday. Today's Sunday. Tomorrow's Monday. Is tomorrow going to be 5 weeks or 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Tomorrow is 6 weeks since you had what we call top surgery.
Yes.
Is there a technical term for it?
So, yes and no. If I were to explain to a doctor what procedure I had, I would call it a double mastectomy. But that particular procedure can look very different for a lot of different people.
Right. I also want to interrupt you and say, because when people hear that initially, mm-hmm. this is an elective surgery.
Yes.
That you had.
Yeah.
This is not because you had breast cancer.
No.
This is because you identify as being non-binary.
Yes.
Should we explain that first? And
yeah.
Then, and let's do that first.
Okay. There's a lot to get into.
Let's start at the beginning.
Okay. Yes.
People just know that Ezra had an elective surgery 6 weeks ago, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but I'm going to go through my list. Because I wrote a list.
You wrote a list?
I have questions. Yeah, I do.
Okay, cool.
First question. First of all.
Yes.
You are gay.
Yes.
And when did you come out to us? Because I can't remember, because it just seems like it's been.
Yeah.
It's just been forever.
Yeah. So, I never came out to you. I came out to mom.
Are you coming out to me right now?
Dad.
Is this it?
I'm gay. Hi.
Get out.
So I never actually face-to-face came out to you, but I came out to mom when I was 13 years old at the end of eighth grade.
I feel like these are things that, I think there's things that, I think dads get a stereotype of, you go to mom for certain things, no matter how progressive your dad is, no matter how mothering or nurturing he is, I think you always go. You go to mom. It's just a thing. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So I also, I don't know. I knew that she could just tell you things. So
right.
I was like, I don't want to do this with dad. Right. It was like hard enough to do with
what
mom.
What did you think?
Like,
what did you think? Dad. What did you think I would? What did you think my response would be?
I actually thought that you generally require fewer explanations for things. You know, I just like, this is what's going on. And you're like, yeah. Whereas with mom, I knew it had to be more of a conversation.
Gotcha.
So I had that conversation with mom, and then I said, oh, could you tell dad? And I came out as bi, and that is actually how I still identify. But
identify as bisexual.
Yes, but very not straight, and I use gay loosely
right.
in that way.
But you've had a girlfriend for 3 years now.
Yes.
And we can say her name.
Her name is Mel, and I love her.
And we love Mel, too. And I remember when Mel first came to the house, because Mel's a couple years older than you.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, she's 33.
No.
And, no, 2 years older than you. And when she first came to the house, she's shy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be,
mm-hmm.
because we're kind of a loud family.
Yeah.
We're like in your face,
mm-hmm.
asking questions.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, it's just Mel comes and spends weeks, months,
years
at a time.
Yeah.
And I love when she's there. I just feel, mm-hmm. I love when I just wake up in the morning and she's in the kitchen getting herself breakfast because I know that she feels comfortable being there.
Yeah. And she does.
And she does. So we love Mel. So hello to Mel. Okay, so you've had a girlfriend for 3 years. You just celebrated a 3-year anniversary.
Yes.
Okay, so got through the gay, got through the Mel. Then at what age, there was an age where you wanted to change your name from your birth name of Sarah, you wanted to change to the name Ezra.
Yeah.
And you don't rush into these things. These are things I feel that you, you really think about something for a long time before you act or come to us with what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd already, come out to you and said like, hey, I'm not a girl. I identify as non-binary. And I also will, use the word transgender for myself.
So so the pronouns you prefer are they, them.
Yes. Yeah.
My pronouns are he, she.
No,
not at all. He, nope. Him.
Yes.
You're they, them. And we'll get to that in a second. But okay. So,
what I was saying is I'd already been, I've come out to you twice and I'd already been out to you, as non-binary for, I think, like a year.
Mm-hmm.
When I decided to change my name, I wasn't sure if I wanted to at first.
And what is non-binary for the lay person?
Yeah. This, our explanations of things have been a bit all over the place.
Yes.
But, so let's talk about that. So, I just use that to mean that, I don't identify as a man. I don't identify as a woman. I'm just somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest way I can explain that.
Now, I always not make fun of it, but I always joke that, oh, I think I'm non-binary too because I don't like sports. I'd rather make brownies. But you told me that's not the same thing.
No. I mean, gender's complicated.
Gender is complicated.
But, beyond anything that I do, anything that I am in life, it's just like I didn't enjoy and was very uncomfortable moving through the world calling myself a woman and trying to fill that role. And so that is why I identify the way I do. And we're going to get into why some other things happened recently.
Now, for lack of a better example, when I was growing up, we might have called a non-binary person, since that word or term didn't exist to my knowledge, we would maybe call them androgynous.
Yeah.
Correct?
Uh-huh. And I would say that word's now more used to describe gender expression.
Mm-hmm.
So that would just be like, gender expression is just like the way that you communicate things about your gender and yourself to the world. So you do that by wearing cargo pants, cargo shorts, and...
I'm just lazy.
Yeah, and
I'm just lazy. That's why I throw the cargo shorts on every day.
We both have short hair. That's something that we like, and it's something that will make people infer certain things about us.
Mm-hmm. When you and I go out, many times people who wait on us will go, "What are you fellas having?"
Yeah.
"What's up, guys?" But you're fine with that.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So now androgyny is more so used to describe that gender expression rather than identity. So I'm an androgynous person, but that's separate from the fact that I'm non-binary.
Which is how you feel inside.
Yeah, not all non-binary people are androgynous, and not all people who are androgynous are non-binary.
Gotcha.
Yep.
What was our next thing? Non-binary, you explained it. You just explained it.
Yeah.
So... you came out then as non-binary.
Yes.
And then we were talking about your name change.
Yes.
You wanted something that was more gender fluid, which could be a name for, again, this sounds like a joke, but Pat.
Yeah.
Is a gender fluid name.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
I mean, there's even a famous Saturday Night Live character, Pat, and the whole thing of the sketch is people don't know if Pat is a man or a woman.
Yeah, your whole name is fairly androgynous.
Yeah.
Francis.
So yeah, that's true. So you chose Ezra.
Yes.
And then we were you came out, you told mommy that first too.
Yeah. No, I didn't actually.
Really?
I did not. I went by that name with close friends while I was trying it out.
Okay.
And I was over at a friend's house for the first time. They introduced me to their mom,
mm-hmm.
as Ezra.
Okay.
And then you were insistent on meeting this parent. And when you did, she said, you're Ezra's dad. And then you asked me about it later, and I was in the car with other friends, and I was like, we're not talking about this, we're not. But you brought it up a second time, and I was like, okay, here's the deal. And I wasn't really ready to tell you at that point, and it was a little while before I started officially using Ezra after I told you that, but that's how you found out.
And it's not like the mom said, oh, you're cocaine addict's dad.
No. No.
I think this happens a lot with your friends. They're not telling their parents, or maybe telling them a lot of stuff about gender, right? And they're maybe because their parents aren't supportive.
Yeah.
Or they don't feel that they are. Maybe their parents would be supportive, but they don't know yet. And it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
But so that's how we found out about Ezra. And then we were fine with that.
Yeah. I had told mom before, hey, I might change my name.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the only place that conversation ever went.
And then for months you were Cezra, because
we were trying very hard.
We would, you know, the first name that would come out of our mouth would not be Ezra.
Yeah.
And then we would correct ourselves halfway through. And then now your sister, Rita, she does very well.
Yeah.
She's on it with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kids these days are just a thing. Don't have to, their brain doesn't have to relearn things.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and that's what we want in society. We want this to just be the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what's my next thing? So pronouns.
Yes.
You use the they, them. We said that.
Yeah.
This is difficult, but we try very, very hard.
Yes.
Because they, them indicates more than one singular person.
Yeah.
And when I look at you as an entity, you're just one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I should also say, like, this is just because we're doing all of this with a very like 101 like intro.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
I am one person. For the record, I am one person.
Yes.
I don't feel that I'm any more than one person.
Right.
I'm one singular human being.
Yeah.
You probably use they, them pronouns for singular people all the time without realizing it. Everyone does. It gets a bit harder when you start to do it intentionally for one person.
Yeah.
But I prefer they pronouns because they've become actually pretty much the most accessible gender neutral pronoun that there is.
And you don't want to be pinned down to a she or a he. So that's why we do the they, them pronouns.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And I work very hard on this one.
Yes.
This is a difficult one, but I'm correcting myself a lot, but I really, and we even had, Rita and I have had like an old time comedy routines many times.
Yeah.
I'll say, where's Ezra? And Rita will go, they went to the mall. And I'll say, oh, who did Ezra go with? And then Rita will say, they went to the mall. I'm like, I heard you, but what are... And then she'll just be like, then she'll go end up...
But who's on first?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And then she'll be like, dad. And I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it.
Yeah, and there is that language barrier with it. But those kind of language mix-ups can happen at any point.
When I talk to friends about you, I don't always use the they, them.
Yeah.
I will use the she, her, because it's simpler. I'm not embarrassed by it, but I just don't feel like getting into it. Like with my parents, you know?
Yeah.
How's Ezra?
And I wouldn't want, like with your parents, like I wouldn't want to have that conversation.
No, Nana and Pap, they're 82.
They're so old.
They're not going to. It's just because it's so, it's difficult.
What you have done is, I know that you did make it very clear that you, to all the extended family, that like, you know, if you're going to send me a card for any occasion,
to say Ezra. And they're good with that.
They are.
They don't even make the mistake on the phone. They'll go, how's Ezra? I'm pretty amazed. I'm pretty pleased that they were on to that. Mm-hmm. And What else was I going to say? But yeah, but recently I have been saying like, oh, they're out with Mel. And Nana will say, who's out with Mel? And I'll just say, Ezra is. And she'll go, oh, okay. And so it's not kind of maybe like subconsciously trying to drill it into her brain.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're coming to... We are going to play music. How long have we been talking? 17 minutes.
This is a music podcast.
We talk. You want to play a couple songs and then we'll get into the top surgery? Or do you feel like we should go right into it?
I don't know. I feel like we've kept people waiting long enough because we started the podcast with it, then backtracked.
Yeah. So we should just do it.
Yeah. Let's just do it. But know that we will play.
We will play music.
This is a special podcast, but we will be.
Well, people who listen to this podcast know that we've talked for 17, 18, 25 minutes without getting to music. And it hasn't been anything revelatory or as important as I think what we're talking about today. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. All good.
Yeah. Okay. So top surgery.
Yes. So I mentioned at the top of this podcast that I had a double mastectomy.
Right.
And
which isn't, but again, when people think of that, we think of cancer.
Yeah.
And because they're scooping out cancerous tissue, correct?
Sometimes things like that can just be preventative.
Right.
If you have a gene for breast cancer and you remove all the breast tissue, you will not get breast cancer,
right,
is basically the thinking, and that does work. Mm-hmm. But that is not why I did this, I did this because I am transgender, as we've mentioned,
yes,
and that's why most trans people call this top surgery.
And because you, your chest now looks like a boy's chest.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not like, because we've seen people. I'll just, for example, use Tig Notaro, because on her comedy special, she takes her shirt off.
Yeah,
it's not like that at all.
Yeah, and
like,
you and Mom asked if that's what I would look like, and I said
because
no.
I'm curious, and that's what we always want to know.
Yeah, so this surgery is partially reconstructive. It essentially gives me the appearance of a quote unquote masculine or a male chest, as opposed to removing all of the breast tissue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's what it was, and this was how long did you think about this?
Several years. I mean, I didn't know that this was an option for me for a while.
Yeah.
So like, had I known, I might have considered it sooner or thought about it sooner, but I didn't know.
I think it's good that you waited till you're 18.
Of course, yeah. And that was kind of always, I think, my plan, and I honestly thought that I would be waiting longer. Just some things fell in place that allowed me to do this right now.
Right.
But easily 2.5-3 years was the time I spent knowing that this was for sure something I wanted.
And people need to know that you were wearing you would always wear a binder.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, pretty much always I was wearing a binder, which is a compression garment that
Can't be real good for you.
Doesn't.
And it can't be comfortable.
There are ways to bind very safely. So binder is a compression garment that essentially gives me the appearance of a flat chest, and I wore that
a lot.
Most days for those 3 years. And while there you can bind very safely and healthily, and I don't want anyone to come away with this thinking that that is a terrible thing.
No.
For me, it wasn't sustainable. At 3 years of that, I started having back pain, and I just knew that it wasn't going to be something that I could do forever,
right,
or that I wanted to do forever.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we've covered top surgery. I was the last line of defense on top surgery also. You told Rita first, correct?
I think I did. I think I mentioned it to her first.
And what was her reaction? Because again, she's 4 years younger, but she's...
So Rita's almost 15.
Almost 15. Almost, you're 19. Almost 19.
Yeah.
Both October kids.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a show that both Rita and I watch called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's an adaptation of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
That's a little bit more adult. It's on Netflix. And it's very much just trashy teen TV that we both like, but there is actually a character on it who is trans and who's played by a non-binary person who's had top surgery.
Okay.
So part of how I broached that topic with Rita was talking about, I believe their name's Lachlan Watson.
Okay.
I believe I'm getting that right. I just mentioned, I was like, oh yeah, like if you follow them on Instagram, you'll see that they've had this procedure. So just relating it to a public figure that we both knew, basically.
Cool. So Rita knew first, then mommy.
Yeah.
And then why again, why am I last? Why am I out of the loop?
I mean, I had brought it up to mom. I did it the same way I did the name thing, where I was like, hey, just so you know, one day I might do this. And because I'd already like planted that in her head, there came a point where I was basically like, and she was really hesitant about it. And mm-hmm. I don't say that as any judgment of mom's character. Mm-hmm. I basically said I wanted to have elective surgery at 17 years old. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll acknowledge that. But when I was 18 and figured out I could do it, I basically called her up and was like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be around for it or not, but I'm going to do it. And that's kind of the choice I gave her.
Right.
And obviously you two said yes.
Yes. But,
I think because it was about like anatomy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I knew that mom would be able to explain it in a way that was more accessible to you. Whereas I feel like I'm not as good at gauging what your comfort level is with some of this stuff.
And what is my comfort level with it now?
Pretty comfortable. Yeah.
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 I'm fine.
You were the person who took the longest to want to like see what I looked like.
Well, yes, because I know.
I had surgery. It looked kind of gross.
Yeah, it looks kind of gross. So, but yeah, I remember I was in the bedroom watching TV and mommy comes in and she's like,
Mom didn't want to have this conversation.
We have to talk to you about something. I'm like, oh boy. You don't know what that's going to be.
No,
when anyone says we need to talk, you're like, oh, what is this going to be about? But, I was, it only took me, I didn't have any negative, reaction to it. Or I just thought for a second, like, okay. All right. I feel that, you need to be who you need to be.
And so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know it was like a hard thing to conceptually wrap your head around. Mm-hmm. I would in most situations rather do pretty much anything else than be in a hospital in a doctor's office.
No one wants that.
God, it's the worst. And you know how like nervous I get and how unhappy I am.
Yeah.
Whatever I have to go in.
And as a parent, it's a procedure.
Yeah.
No one likes procedures. Whether you were having your tonsils out or your wisdom teeth or whatever it is, it's your child, and mm-hmm. you're going to worry about them.
Yeah.
So this was just
but
a bigger deal.
I do know that when I came out of it, you and mom pretty quickly got that. Like, I did feel a lot happier.
You were beaming. You were not that you were not happy, but you were just so much more happy. And I mean,
yeah, the drugs didn't hurt, but,
well, yeah. yeah, I tapped into some of that too.
No.
But yeah, any parent listening out there that might have the same, situation going on in your home, that was uplifting. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. That, just how happy you were.
Yeah. And right before I actually had surgery, you did reconnect with an old friend who had a son who has had this procedure.
Yes, I did. And he informed me that it would be a piece of cake and that the recovery time is very quick and not to worry at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my roommate from Chicago, who Mike Siegel and I roomed with for
I didn't know how many details you wanted to give, so I can't.
Well, I'm not giving names because that's not my
what
I'll do. But
yeah,
all right, we got more. We're gonna talk.
Can I add one thing?
Can sure.
I add one thing that I just want to put out as like a footnote to this?
Sure.
So, final question that I'm inserting into this now is so I've said that I don't identify as male or female, but I just said that I had a procedure to make my chest look more male. And
right.
I want to clarify, this isn't something that all non-binary people who are assigned female at birth want to do.
Right.
But for me personally, this is the only kind of physical transition thing that I want to do right now. And with the way that my gender is, I just felt more comfortable being a person who had a more masculine chest.
Right.
But it, that doesn't actually correlate to anything about like my gender. That's
it's,
all.
It's also, it's also need over want. I think like you needed to do it. You needed to do
very
it.
Very much.
You had to. I can't imagine walking around and not being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And to just, even if it's, I mean, if I'm going to put it at a more base level, you know, someone might want to get a nose job. Someone might want to do, you know what I mean? It's all those different things. It's to make you feel better in your own skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my only little footnote to this.
All right. Let's play some music.
Time for music.
Time for some music. You brought, now I brought songs today that have the word change or a variation of the word change in the title. These songs don't necessarily lyrically have anything to do with the changes that you have gone through.
Yeah.
And you brought, and tell people the songs you brought. What did you do?
Okay, so I, you know, I thought about picking songs about gender, about transition, about change. And then I just ended up being like, you know what? I just want to pick songs, whether they're about gender identity or not. All the songs that I've picked here are partially or entirely produced by trans people. So these are all trans musicians.
Trans musicians.
Yes.
Do you remember your list?
Yeah, I actually, I have it on my phone.
Okay.
I have my list of songs. I'm Do you want me to start or are you starting?
No, I'll let you go first. You're the guest. And then you can call that out in any order you want, but I have them in the order that you gave them to me.
Yes. So. Cool. Awesome. Okay.
So what's first?
Yeah. What is first? I didn't know I was starting.
Yeah. I can start if you want me to, and you can keep thinking.
No, it's all good.
All right.
Okay, let's start with See Me by Mel Blum.
And this is from their new album, Pity Boy.
Yep.
Just came out, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe?
Yeah.
From today? Okay, this song is called, this is Mel Blum. This is a great album.
Yes.
And this song is called See Me.
I get up. I've been here so long. Feels like nothing anymore. I'll think of you. Don't brush me off. Both got bruises on our knees. Don't waste your worries, not on me. I don't. Why can't they see me? When I'm right here.
And remember, you can tell me when you want me to fade it down.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, Mel Blum, See Me. That's a great song. That's a great album. I highly recommend it. I wrote a review for it on Pop Culture Beast, and you should get it.
Yeah, I've played Mel Blum a lot on the show. I like them very much, and they are also non-binary, just like me.
There you go.
Yep.
Also had top surgery.
Yeah, they did. They did like a year ago, and that was really cool.
Yep, and you've met them.
I have, yes.
Cool.
They're dope.
Okay, I'm going to play a song by Joan Jett.
Nice.
From the album called Sinner from 2006. I don't play enough Joan Jett on the show, but this song is Change the World. I think you're going to like this song. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
All right, good. I never know what you'll like. I tried though. I think you'll like some of the songs I picked.
I've tried to pick stuff that sometimes on other episodes I've picked stuff that I think you will, you and by extension some of your listeners will not like. But for this show, I really want to pick stuff that I wanted to pick stuff that I thought you would like, and also stuff that maybe your listeners can get into. Listen to more music by trans people.
You can't really pigeonhole all the listeners though, because they
don't
all like what I like. They definitely have eclectic musical tastes and like stuff all over the board.
Where that judgment comes from is, I think if you're going to listen to a podcast from a guy who plays music and you hate all of his music, you might not listen to that podcast. So I'm
I try to play a lot of different stuff. I play a lot of the same artists, that's for sure.
Well, if they like some of the stuff that you play on here.
We also call this a comedy music podcast because we try to be entertaining no matter what song we're playing. Yeah. So. And today, informative.
Yes.
Informative. The procedure itself.
Yeah.
Again, 6 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yes.
And Mel came out to help.
Yeah. Yeah,
with the post-surgery, mommy came up with a plan that Mel handled. Mel handled the meds.
Yes.
Mommy handled the food, making the food, keeping everyone eating and drinking. And then I had the wonderful task.
Oh, no.
Of stripping and emptying your drains.
I had post-surgical drains.
Because when you have any type of a... what do I want to say? A reconstructive or a type of a surgery.
Yeah.
You do have these. You have these drains, and they're like tubes that come out of where your incisions are.
Yes.
And then they hang down. They have to hang lower than the incision.
Yep.
And then they have like a rubber ball that fills up with, I don't know.
I kept calling it my goo.
Yeah.
You know, it's blood and it's blood gross stuff.
And gross stuff, and then. Some of it won't drain the whole way down into the bulb, so I would have
everyone to... Everyone stopped listening by this
point. That's interesting, kind of, and gross.
Yeah.
And so I would have to strip.
Yeah.
I have to wash my hands very well. It's quite a procedure. So, I was dreading the first time, because it's just like...
It was very bad.
Because I didn't want to tug, you know, but then after the first time, I was like, okay, I can
do
this.
You only almost yanked them out of me once.
It's very gentle. I was very gentle.
You tried so hard. It was okay.
I do not
harbor any ill will about...
Very difficult.
It's very hard for both of us.
Yes.
That was the worst part of the procedure. But the good thing is that those are gone after a week. And then everything just feels better.
Yes.
Like, even if you don't physically feel better, not having, like... tubes of your own goo coming out of you just makes you feel...
That'd be a good name for
better.
A band, Tubes
no,
of Goo.
No.
I was amazed at how quick the recovery was.
Yeah.
Now, you're not 100% yet because you can't raise your arms above your head.
No.
You can't lift anything that's more than, what, 5 pounds?
It's been up to 15. Mm-hmm. I might try to pick up the cat later.
Why don't you wait another week?
She's fat, so...
She might weigh more than 15. I hope she doesn't, but she might.
Yeah, so I can't... You know, it's pretty standard surgery stuff. They're like, no heavy lifting, like...
Also, stop calling my cat the boy.
Fila
uses she, her pronouns.
Our cat uses she, her pronouns. I do not call her the boy. I call her my son.
Okay.
She is my son.
No.
Fila has no concept of gender and therefore can be my son.
No, she has concept. Because she loves me the most.
That doesn't mean she has a concept of gender. I mean, she's a poor judge of character.
Let's move on. What's your next song?
Okay.
Are you a good patient or a bad patient?
I don't think I'm the best patient.
Good. Thank you for being on. Thank you for your honesty.
No, Mel took care of me before this when I had the flu, and she said herself that like I was way worse of a patient when I had the flu than when I had surgery.
Oh, well, that's okay. Good.
So I think I'm more of a baby.
So she was relieved.
But are you a good patient or a bad patient, Dad? Because I would like to posit that I get this from someone, and it's you.
I feel like I'm a very good patient.
No.
I feel like I am.
You should see this man when he has a cold. please, can you give me soup? Please.
All I want to do is sleep when I'm sick.
You act like such a baby.
I'm gonna knock on wood that I haven't been sick for a while.
No, yeah. All okay, right. Let's play. Let's play True Trans Soul Rebel by Against Me.
From 2014.
Yes.
And the album is called. What's that? I can't say it. Transgender.
Dysphoria?
Dysphoria Blues is the album.
Yes.
Okay. True Trans Soul Rebel. Here we go. Imagine any of my listeners not enjoying that.
Yeah.
That's a good tune.
That's what I'm talking about. So I played Against Me for you once before, and when I went to pick songs for this podcast, I'm kicking myself for not getting you more into them, because Against Me is great.
Yeah.
And totally a place where our tastes converge.
Yeah.
So that band is fronted by a transgender woman named Laura Jane Grace. The band was popular before she transitioned, and she had to basically, with a certain following of kind of like hardcore dudes.
Yeah.
And she transitioned very publicly during all that, but.
And did they embrace her?
Eventually, yeah. And I don't want to speak for everyone. I think it was a mixed bag, as is with anyone who has to transition publicly.
Right.
But yeah, so she's. This is off an album called Transgender Dysphoria Blues that has more. I think this is their first album that has songs that are really explicitly about being trans, and some of them are some of them are more sad, but True Trans Soul Rebel is more uplifting.
And by the way, if we wouldn't have pre-labeled the bands you're playing as transgender artists, none of the listeners would know or care.
No, probably.
Because if you like the song,
yeah,
you like the song.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that for, because they have albums like this, I do think it's relevant context. And, you know, she wants you to think about her identity.
Okay. Well, that's good because she's living her best life and she's writing about things that she's experiencing. And so.
Yeah. And she exists as a transgender woman in a scene that.
Yeah,
you don't typically associate with women, let alone trans women.
I think, you know, most artists who write their own lyrics are writing from their experiences.
Yeah.
You know.
So this became very relevant. But she is I also just love her as a person. So
well, the music was good and the vocals were good.
Yeah,
so
too Against Me.
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Okay, my next artist are the Gin Blossoms. This is from their 2010 album, No Chocolate Cake. This is an excellent album, people. If you've never heard this, it's great. I think it's as good as their first two albums. I think it's really, really awesome. And this song, of course, because it has the word change in the title, this is Don't Change for Me. And you shouldn't change for someone else. You should only change for you.
You know I can't pretend it's not an accident. I have become somebody else. So much I want to say. You see me every day. I wish that I could shout it out. You gotta run. This world ain't standing still. You gotta believe you can make it. You gotta know
for me.
I actually thought that was a good sentiment for the topic at hand today.
Okay, I'm rapidly Googling something. What is that song called?
Don't Change for Me.
I either have a false memory or I need to do some Googling, but I swear to God Hannah Montana did a cover of this song.
Maybe she did.
Because I knew it, but I knew it as a Hannah Montana song.
Maybe she did.
And I'm Googling and I'm not coming up with anything, so I could have a completely false memory.
Maybe it just sounds like a
or
song.
Or like some other, I don't know. It's
might
fine.
Sound like a song that she does.
I don't know. Anyway, it was fine. I was a little distracted trying to figure that out.
Mommy had told me that post-surgery, you had forgot to do something that you wanted to do just as an experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Which was weigh yourself before surgery.
Yeah.
And then weigh yourself after surgery.
I don't really think this would have worked anyway.
You don't think so?
No, because I think that, I would have had to, find a time, and then at surgery I was eating at odd hours, so I wouldn't have gotten really accurate read, but I did want to calculate how much of my body
were boobs.
Yes.
Is that the word we're going to use?
Yeah.
It's the most, it's the nicest word.
Is it?
Breasts sounds so clinical.
It's terrible. All of it's bad.
Yeah. Boobs is just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid word. So
you're a boob.
You're a boob. So
yeah, I didn't get to do that. No.
Now, when I dropped you off at college, you're going into your sophomore year, but summer's still here. We don't want you to leave yet.
Yeah.
Soon we will want you to leave. No. Mm-hmm. When I dropped you off at the dormitory, you go to Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Yes, I do.
They have a non-binary floor there.
They do.
Which is, I mean, maybe this is at a lot of colleges. And I just don't know.
More and more every year.
Mm-hmm.
But Hampshire is a particularly non-binary friendly place.
Yes.
So college dorms have always been sorted by male and female. And I basically intentionally asked to be put on a hall that was entirely non-binary identifying people.
How did you find out that they even had a non-binary floor?
Just in the housing form.
It's front and center. You can find it quickly.
It was just an option. Yeah.
Cool. And you, I've said this, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, I probably have. People ask me, did you miss Ezra when they were at school? And, it's you settled in so wonderfully. You found a hardcore group of friends.
Yeah.
You love the school. You're not a big fan of the California weather, so you loved the cold.
It's so hot.
It is hot. It is hot. And if you don't like this weather, and it's this hot, you really don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But so you like to take pictures, so you get the change of seasons there.
Yeah.
You like all of it. So as much as I did miss you, I wasn't worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
you have a job, you have friends, and you're loving school. Mm-hmm. And that makes it easy because you're very far away. You're across the country. We can't be there, at the drop of a hat if you need us. We can be 6 hours by plane, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I haven't been worried about you because Hampshire's diverse too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hesitant to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Hampshire has some problems retaining students of color that I don't want to give them any credit for.
I get it.
But it has a community of has a very accepting community when it comes to LGBT people, because I would say actually the majority of Hampshire is LGBT, and we actually have polls to prove that.
Wow.
Like 70% or something is what gets thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a community of people who are working hard to make Hampshire a better place and more accessible.
Racially diverse too.
Yeah,
so, is what you want.
Yes,
makes sense.
And accessible for disabled students. So we have a student body who's committed to trying to make that happen. But I don't think we're there yet. But we are very diverse in the world of gender and sexual identity.
I guess I didn't know about the other areas that weren't diverse.
It's fine.
I'm not just concerned about what's best for you, but that's number one on my list.
Yeah,
I'm not even thinking about other things.
You get all the, yeah, for me, it's been a great place, and you get all the parent pamphlets. I'm just talking about my lived experience there.
Yeah.
It's you have just great the technicality friend. That yeah. I'll give it.
Great friends.
But yeah, no, but I do think Hampshire College is a great place, and it's certainly been the best place for me.
Cool. And we're happy you're there.
Yeah.
So, song number three, what do you got for us?
How about Nightcrawler by Ineco?
Ooh, you switched your list around a little bit.
I did. I'm sorry.
All right. The song is
sorry
Nightcrawler.
Sorry if you thought I was going in order.
No, that's fine. 2017, Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Do not like that.
I was wondering if I knew you could
that
go
that voice
either
is
way
not good.
It.
That voice
no,
is not good.
I like it.
Name the artist again that we should stay away from.
No, so mean.
How is it? It's,
I mean, look, they're on they're on like an indefinite hiatus anyway. But
yeah, to take some vocal lessons.
Stop. There are two vocalists. So if you didn't like that, you might like the other person who sings.
Who's a better vocalist, this person or the other person?
I just. So mean.
I'm just asking.
So mean. I prefer this person's voice.
Oh, the other person must be horrendous.
No, you might actually like the other person more. This is just a personal
all right.
thing.
That was not as
I didn't know if you would or not. I got a resounding no. That's fine.
As former co-host April Richardson might say, that is not my jam.
No, that's fine. I really like Ineco, but they don't really make, they all have like separate projects that they do more now. So.
Okay. Nice. I know you like this next artist that I'm going to play.
Who?
Sheryl Crow.
Cool.
This is A Change Would Do You Good. Did A Change Do You Good?
Yep.
Here we go. Next topic of discussion on the same topic, but veering off a little bit. This year, I took you and three of your friends. I drove you down to LA Pride.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, next year, I think I'm going to go.
Really?
And if mommy's not working that day, maybe she'll go too. Oh, I know she'll
go.
That
sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm embracing it.
All
embracing
right.
the pride.
Nice.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Proud of all your friends.
That's sweet. No, that'd be dope.
But what makes me sad is some of your friends, again, we're not going to name anyone's name.
No.
They're not getting the parental support that I feel that they should be getting.
Yeah.
And that bums me out pretty badly.
Yeah. No, you're a really good dad, and I feel very lucky. I wouldn't be able to do any of this. And for the record, this whole podcast was your idea. This was something that you wanted to
I did
do
want to
you
do
brought
this.
To me, and I said yes, but... Yeah, so I really appreciate it. And yeah, this has been a long journey, but it hasn't been like necessarily a tough one.
No.
I think you and mom have also
I hope that it wasn't for you because it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Wasn't for mommy.
Yeah.
Wasn't for Rita.
There have been some things that took
Phyllis time. Had a problem yeah. with it.
She's a homophobe. but
the cat's a homophobe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the new Pixar movie.
There are bite marks in my pride flag from her, to be fair.
That is true. She does attack the pride flag.
Very bad.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
But like we were, like one of your friends that was there said, I think I was saying, I said, hey, you guys be, you know, before we left, I said to one, I was, your one friend was there, I go, oh, I hope you guys have a great time. And I go, I'm just going to, this is just, you know, dumb dad talk. And this person said, well, this is good because I don't have any positive male
yeah.
influences in my family.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, I just take a sigh. I'm like, this is so terrible. And then
yeah.
another one of your friends said that when they turned 18, their dad kicked them out of the house.
Yeah.
And kept their computer and all their camera equipment.
Yeah,
and told them that they needed to get through this yeah. phase. It's,
and
it's
that
time
was
they get through
actually,
this phase.
That was actually because they started to pursue a gender transition.
And taking hormones?
Yeah, taking hormone therapy.
Yeah, and this was too much
yeah,
for the dad.
Yeah, so...
And I find that it's always the dad that's the dick, if I can use that word.
Do better, men.
Do better. I just don't, it's really troubles me mm-hmm. because,
Are you going to cut this out or?
No, I'm not going to cut, I don't cut anything
He's out. Crying, so I'm laughing at him.
No, I mean, don't these parents know it's not a goldfish. Okay. It's your child.
Yeah.
And don't they know what the, you know, the suicide rate is among mm-hmm. gay and transgendered kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Also, you drove me. You scared me the other night when you tweeted your joke about Forky from Toy Story 4.
I was just joking.
Tell what that. Say what your tweet was.
It was more just like, so I don't want to spoil Toy Story 4 for your
it's
listeners.
Fine. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, skip ahead 30
Toy
seconds.
Toy Story 4 and there's, I didn't mean to actually worry you or anything. There's the character that's a spork that becomes a toy only because a girl puts googly eyes on it.
Yeah. And she makes it a toy.
They bring into it this very dark concept of what makes the toys alive,
right.
which is what I was trying to make fun of, where like he doesn't want to be a toy. He just wants to go back to being trash.
Yeah. And he keeps throwing himself in the trash can.
Yeah. Toy Story 4 was great. Really related to the fork that just wanted to be dead, I guess. Like that was,
yeah,
the,
but the tweet,
that was the tone.
So what I read is, I really related to the fork that wants to be dead. And so how long did it take me to come to your room and go, hey, that tweet was just a joke, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, you just start laughing at me.
Yeah, I always laugh at you. It's fine.
But okay.
No, but you're a good dad. You're a good dad and you care. And there's nothing wrong with, I love how much you care. It's just also my obligation to make fun of you when you get choked up on your yeah. podcast.
And yeah, but I feel responsible when we have kids at the house and I just, I do. It really
yeah, it
hurts
hard.
Me when
no, and I mean,
their parents aren't
it's yeah.
being supportive the way I feel like they are supposed yeah. to be.
Most of my friends are LGBT, and you know, it's something that has become kind of like just something that is a fact of certain people's lives.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm just at it from the perspective of being a kid and being their friend, and it always makes me angry, but it's also just like a part of a lot of LGBT people's lives. And I think I never think about the parents. It's like such a, it's just something that happens so commonly, honestly.
Right.
But you always come at it from being a parent and knowing that it's not that hard.
It frustrates
to step
me.
Up.
It's angers me.
Yeah.
It really does.
And I see you and mom always want to adopt all my friends who
yeah.
have good parents.
Yeah. I mean, we had one of your friends a couple years ago come to the door and say that their dad kicked them out of the house.
Yeah.
And that was a killer for me.
Yeah.
So, and we just said, well, you stay here for as long as you want.
Yeah.
And they worked it out within a day, but...
Yeah, but I mean, that stuff's real.
It's crazy. Yeah, because anyway. Yeah. All right, next song, number four, song four. What do you got for us?
Okay. Ugh. Okay, let's try. Gonna try to redeem myself. I think that's probably gonna be the thing that you like least, and probably maybe the only thing that you hate.
Yeah, I queued these up, and even when I queued that one up, I was like, oh dear lord.
So I'm gonna play someone who I would say we both like half of his discography, but I'm gonna play "Restless Year" by Ezra Furman.
All right, here we go. "Restless Year" from 2015. Good one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Right? That's dope. I honestly like hadn't listened to that song that much, and I found it in my library when I was trying to pick an Ezra Furman song, and I was like, this song is awesome. This is
then
a good
did it
song.
Want to make you just dive into all the Ezra Furman songs again?
Yeah. Except for the half that I don't like. but yeah, so you've always liked Ezra Furman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most of the stuff you've played, I've liked it. Yeah.
No connection to me, really, but...
No, you didn't choose your name from Ezra Furman.
No, but he's great. His stuff's awesome.
Although one of the artists I played earlier, the Gin Blossoms, we did take your sister's name, Rita, from a Gin Blossom song.
That is true.
That is definitely true.
Yeah.
My next song, it's just because I love Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and Tom Petty, it's the only artist that's made me cry.
Rock and peace,
Tom Petty. But this song is a great song. It's called "Change of Heart." Think of that. Do you like that? Is that old man music?
I just don't dig Tom Petty's voice.
I love Tom Petty's voice, but I understand if you don't like it.
Yeah.
But he sings a lot of different ways too. He can do that little twangy thing. Then he can sing. His voice can be beautiful at times
like,
too.
Yeah, like I don't think he's got like a bad voice. I don't love some of the choices.
I get it. I understand.
You get it.
I disagree, but I understand.
You got me. Okay.
Let's see if I have anything else on my list.
I think you are you out?
No. I'm looking at my list of
questions.
Questions.
Yes.
To talk about. I'm asking you all these questions like I'm interviewing you. I know all the answers to these questions.
Yeah.
What are you studying currently? What is your major? Is it art history?
You know the answer to this because I don't.
You don't really have a major yet. I thought it was going to be art history.
Yeah, and I think that's still the plan. Mm-hmm. There's like I have a more like explanation of like what I specifically want to study, but art history is a pretty good like at a family gathering. What's your major? Kind of answer.
Actually, at my family gatherings, the only thing that would sound good would be doctor.
Yeah, but you know, I need some.
Yeah, we have no doctors in the family.
No.
Art history. What are you going
to... Did your parents go to college?
No, they did not.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. High school graduates.
Yep.
So, Nothing wrong with that.
No. But it's, it's funny when they want you to be a doctor.
I know. All right, what's your next tune?
My next tune is going to be Higher by Girlpool.
From this year, 2019.
Yeah.
Tell me about Girlpool.
I have played Girlpool on the show before in the episode where I played things that for you to hate. And I played a song, and I think you did hate it. Kyle was on that one, and he said it sounded like they were playing toy instruments. But that was off of their album from a couple years ago, and their sound has shifted significantly along with, in addition to that, one of their members transitioning. So this was the first album where that member, Cleo, he had been on hormone therapy and his voice is different.
All right.
So that was really cool for me, was hearing what his voice sounded like now as one of the vocalists in this duo.
And the album title is weird. What Chaos is Imaginary?
It's When Chaos is Imaginary.
Oh, it came out. Well, I had to purchase this song. And it, so,
is it?
Yeah, so it's What Chaos is Imaginary.
Have I been? I do this before.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What Chaos is Imaginary? Sorry.
It's weird. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
Nope.
Okay. Higher by Girlpool.
I let you in. Phone call cutting out. Back on the bench, I fall into the month I think about. How I sold 7 doves when I was lying on your back. I'll meet you in the morning, figure out what gets me past. A second in the shade, fucking up a useful place.
Come on, man. Ready?
No.
No, not yet.
I let it live like a payday of mine.
No?
Yeah. I just wanted to, I just really like that part of the song.
I thought you wanted the F word to drop.
No. I'm 18.
It's fine.
But yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, maybe when we're in the car, I'll remind you of what their old stuff sounds like. But
okay.
They're awesome because their sound has shifted so much, and I love all of it. That's very cool.
I like that song. Again,
yeah.
The only one I didn't like so far was A-OK or whatever they're called.
Ineco.
All right. The next song I'm going to play is from 1986. It's from the band Pretenders. It's my favorite vocalist, Chrissy Hynde. And this song is When I Change My Life.
Never change my life. Living on my despair. And if you'll give me, then you will come back. Hold my hand and say I still love you and I change my life.
Thoughts?
Yeah. It's all right. It's not like my favorite thing, but I don't think it's bad. It's
all
just
right.
Not for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's one coming up you won't know. You won't like. But
oh,
that's
dear.
Okay.
Fun.
That I know, that I'm pretty sure you won't like.
Okay. Cool.
Next up.
Next up for me is going to be One Way Love, which is this artist. Currently, all their music is under the name Allison Weiss. But they are releasing new music soon, and they are currently going by just AW. So that's
just
the deal.
AW.
Just the initials AW.
So. Okay, so
yeah, so that's
it's
like
AW. It's not just AW.
No, it's AW.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, One Way Love from 2013 from the album Say What You Mean.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Like this.
I want one way love, none of this round trip stuff. I want to laugh till we cry, want to hold on till we die.
So your go-to music is upbeat pop rock music.
I wouldn't even say that necessarily, but that's what I picked for this show.
Yeah, it seems like when you bring songs for the show, most of the time it's upbeat pop rock music.
Okay.
I want to give a pro tip, a parental pro tip. Mm. This has nothing to do with teenagers or gender issues or anything like that. But here's my pro tip: when you have a little kid, infant, 2-3 years old maybe, and you're shopping, okay, like you're at Target, you're at the grocery store, and they're in the cart, and you're in the parking lot. Before you unload your groceries and the things you bought into your car, take your kid out of the cart first and put them in the car and buckle them in. It drives me crazy when people are unloading their groceries and the cart starts to drift and they grab it with their hand and the kids. I'm like, put the kid is your most precious cargo. Put that kid in his seat or her seat first. Then worry about the toilet paper and the hot dogs.
You know, one time, Mom had me in the cart and I rolled away.
Okay.
Did she ever tell you this?
If I was told, I forgot.
Yeah.
But that's
my... She was unloading stuff and I was sitting in the cart and I started to wiggle.
All right.
And
yeah.
Then
yeah.
Someone ran and caught me.
And caught you. Yeah. This is an easy parenting pro tip, but I see it every day. People are putting their things they purchased in there first before their child. That kid in the car.
Stress. Don't have a good idea in your head of what to do.
This next song, I don't know if you like this. This is I love it. It's from 2007. Nick Lowe. The album is called At My Age. This is the artist who sings the song I love, Cruel to Be Kind, that I sing all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But this song is called...
You sing that all the time.
I do sing it all the time. This song is called People Change.
Save your tears, you're gonna need them, because for certain you're gonna be hurt. If you don't get hip to a simple fact of life, people change, that's the long and short of it. Prepare yourself for it, or get big, people change.
All right, cool.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Lowe's great. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to... Do you have any questions for me? No one asked me questions.
I don't know if I have any questions for you.
All right. We'll move on. What's your next tune?
Okay, so I am going to play... another Mal Blum song called Things Still Have to Say, but there's a story with this song.
Did we already tell this story on the episode that you and Rita and I did together?
I feel like we alluded to it, but I don't actually think we told it. Okay, was why I put this
here.
Well,
tell it again, because there's always new listeners coming and going. And
yeah, so maybe we did. I'm
just
sorry
tell it
if
again.
We did.
It's fine.
Yeah. So basically, I went to a Mal Blum show in Brooklyn, and before that show they tweeted out like, hey, we definitely told the story.
Tell it again. Don't worry about it.
They tweeted out like, hey, if anyone wants to be in a music video, you should basically like DM me, and I will let you know how you can do that if you're going to the Brooklyn show. And I was. And I was like, heck yeah. And so I DM'd them, and then I got an email from the person who was directing the music video. And it was a super secret link to this song before the song was out, being like, trusting you, this is a song, you're going to need to lip sync to it like you're doing fake karaoke.
Right.
And it was one of the wildest things I've ever done. So basically, I before the show, went back to the green room, which had a big green screen. And
it was literally a green room.
Yes. And they stabbed me in front of it. They gave me a mic, and they were like, okay, we're going to play the track. Pretend like you're doing karaoke. If you forget any of the words because you've only had the song for 24 hours, it's fine. You're doing fake karaoke.
Okay.
Just be goofy. And I said, because this was like very early, like the show wasn't going to start for another hour. I was like, am I the first person to do this? They were like, Mal was going to do it, but soundcheck's going along. So yes. And that was wild. And I did it in front of all these people, and I danced and sang, which is never something I do.
No.
But it was super fun. And so if you look at the music video for Things Still Left to Say,
you are in it.
My face is in it.
Yeah. More than once, right? Twice?
More than once, yeah. And I couldn't... Mal's got a new album out. I know I played them last time. I'm playing two songs from them again.
Yeah.
But I really like their stuff, so...
And again, this is also from their new album, Pity Boy. It's been out about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And did you meet Mal that day?
Yeah, I did. I did. They told me that everyone said I was great and that I was that I knew all the words, which I did.
All right, good. Good for
and
you.
I told them it was a great song.
You're nothing but prepared, for sure. So this is Things Still Left to Say.
Yes.
You're already how you hoped that it would come. All the days and weeks unfolding as we buttoned up our coats. Had it home, what's a home? Another place you never go. Another space nobody knows. The things you do when you're alone. And I'm alone and you're alone again this year. I'm alone and you're alone again this year. Things still left to say. I've got phrases, there are things still left to say.
You're lip syncing the words as the song plays right now.
Yeah, I know all the words now.
I should have videotaped you.
No.
And put you in another video.
Yeah, I really like this album. So good.
It's really a good album.
It's really tight.
I'm making a change right now too, because what I'm holding in my hand is you bought me this. Tell the people what I'm holding.
He is currently holding a metal water bottle with the Batman insignia engraved on it.
And you bought me this for Father's Day?
For Father's Day.
Because why?
You had a horrible Dasani water bottle habit where we would always have Dasani water bottles
cases
in the fridge. Cases of it. And you just said, like, you were like, it just tastes better. I'm like, why doesn't this man have a reusable water bottle? He is in his 50s. I forget how old you are.
55.
He is 55. So I got you one.
Yeah.
And like the 55-year-old adult man that you are, it has Batman on it so that you will use it.
But I still couldn't put tap water in it. And
no,
even the water that comes out of our fridge, with the front of the fridge, which is filtered, still just doesn't taste as crisp and clear. Clean.
Had the best.
Yeah.
Taste.
Yeah. I like the taste. So, now this is where I'm going to pitch a product, which I'm not getting anything from this. I bought the I bought the zero water pitcher.
Yes. We have a fancy water pitcher now.
Yes. And that thing is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The water, when it goes through first of all, the whole pitcher is a filter. It's a gigantic filter.
Yeah.
So of course it's cleaning out all the impurities, but it tastes right on par with my Dasani. So now I'm fully on board with not killing the environment with all the plastic, even though we would recycle, but still. I don't know what happens.
I have two plastic water bottles.
You have two plastic waters in front of you. How dare you to yell at me?
Yes.
All right. My next song is, and this is one I don't think you're going to like. I probably shouldn't have said that, because now you're going to be predetermined not to like it. I've been on a crazy Jefferson Starship kick. I've been listening to Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and Starship.
What are these words that you're saying?
It's a band in the 60s. They were Jefferson Airplane, kind of like a hippie band. Then in the 70s, 80s, they became Jefferson Starship,
that
more of a
so dumb
hard pop rock band. And then in the late 80s, they dropped the Jefferson, they became Starship, and they were like a really just poppier, rockier, radio-friendly 80s band.
Very dumb naming conventions.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is from 1982. I love this song so much, you're not going to like it. But it's called Winds of Change. All right, cool.
Yeah. No, that's fun. I don't think I'd listen to it like on every day, but like, no, that's fun. If I heard that in like a movie for like, I'd be like, yeah, this rocks.
When Grace Slick sings full out like that, I just love it so much.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so cool. Yeah. I would love, see, that's someone I would love to get on the show. I think she lives out here
come
in Malibu.
On the
show. But she's, I think she's like 78 or 79 years old.
Come on the show.
I don't know. I think she's totally retired. Like, I think, don't think she wants to talk to anyone at all. I don't even know how to get a hold of her, but I'm going to try. Maybe I could get a hold of her through her daughter, China.
Maybe.
I would love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
You have one more song.
One more song.
Then I'm going to play one more song. Then we'll do a little promoting.
Yeah.
And then we agreed on what the playout song would be, but I'm not going to say it yet.
Okay. I totally forget what we agreed on, but...
Sure. You'll know when I say it.
Yeah. Okay. So I also played this artist last time I was on the podcast, but she is a new artist. I think her music's great. She's got two EPs right now coming out and a new album coming out at some point. I don't think she's announced when yet, but I know that it's in the works. And I just think she's great, and she's young, and she's unsigned, and I just want everyone to listen to her. Listen to Left at London, and this song is called I Split My Ribs Open.
Split My Ribs Open. I don't recommend that.
No.
Here we go. Like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I do it for that. She's really good.
That is cool.
Yeah, she's like one of my favorite artists right now.
And that's Left at London.
Left at London.
And the EP is called Transgender Street Legend Volume 1.
Yes.
It's an EP.
Yes.
Before I play my last song, I need to give apologies to Carole King, Greg Kinband, and Journey. Carole King, a song called Changes from the Welcome Home album.
Oh, that's a good song.
You know the song Changes by Carole King?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I don't mind Carole King. I like Carole King.
All right.
I've heard that song before.
Do you want me to play that then instead of In Excess?
No, I don't care what you play.
All right. The other song was Small Change by the Greg Kinn Band from Glass House Rock from 1980. And Change for the Better by Journey from 2008's Revelation. But I'm going to play the song by In Excess. I think this is one of the top three greatest In Excess songs. This is Don't Change. Think of that.
Yeah, that's all right. I often put things in the context of like, if a friend were playing this in the car, would I like be like, oh, this, or would I be like, yeah, I can sit in the car to this.
All right.
And that's in the like, yeah, I could sit in the car to this camp.
That's another rock and peace, because that singer has passed away for many, many years. Michael Hutchins. Mm-hmm. Rock and peace, Michael Hutchins.
Peace.
All right, let's do some promoting. First of all,
cool.
Do you want people to follow you on Twitter?
I don't mind if people follow me on Twitter. Just don't be weird, because I will block you.
All right, don't be weird, people. Where can we find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am at Ezra Ray. There's an extra A at the end of Ezra. It is E-Z-R-A-A-R-A-E. Tweet at Ezra Ray without that extra A and tell them to give me my Twitter handle.
Why the extra A? Why didn't you use like an underscore?
Because I think those are ugly.
I'm at Pat underscore Francis, or as you would say, Pat ugly Francis.
It's ugly. I don't like the way that looks.
You also have a podcast.
I do have a podcast of my own.
Called Sincerely Queerly.
It is called with Sincerely Mel. Queerly with Mel, my girlfriend. We have a podcast that we try to do monthly. At the end of every month, we upload an episode of Sincerely Queerly. It is a podcast that I do with my girlfriend Mel. We talk about our relationship, we talk about stuff we like, we talk about media that we're enjoying that no one's thought about in like 5 years, and sometimes we also talk about like LGBT issues. And we have a podcast that will be going up a few days from when we're recording this. It will definitely be up by the time this episode is up.
Yeah, this drops this Thursday, so yeah. yours will be out this week too. Yes. So look for that.
Yeah, and that episode actually kind of complements this, because that episode is also all about top surgery, more from the perspective of me and Mel as
a couple
and with Mel taking care of me and just general stuff that gets into more details about like how I did this through insurance and what exactly recovery was like.
Right.
Less of an overview than we've given.
Gotcha.
But, you know, if anyone's listening to this who is interested in that stuff,
hop over there.
We also have episodes that aren't about surgery where we just goof, so yeah.
And where is and you have a Twitter handle for Sincerely Queerly?
We do. It mostly is just for episode updates, but that is at S Queerly. Is it pod? Sorry, I have to figure out
that's okay.
Gotta figure out what the handle is. Yes, it's at S Queerly Pod on Twitter.
And Mel also has a Twitter handle. Should we give that?
Sure. I'll give my girlfriend's Twitter handle that I definitely know. I don't not know my girlfriend's Twitter handle. That would make me just a really bad partner.
Is it just Mel Sig? S-I-E-G?
I don't know if it's... Some of her stuff is the Mel Sig. Her Twitter is the Mel Sig. T-H-E-M-E-L-S-I-G.
S-I-G.
S-I-G.
Because her last name's Signor.
Signor.
So, again, I'm at Pat underscore Francis. We are at Rock Solid Show. Yep. Kyle is at Kyle Dotson Funny.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Kyle in less than a month for his wedding.
Getting married
in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We're all going there.
Miss Kyle on the pod.
We do miss Kyle on the pod. Might
rock in peace, Kyle.
I think someone else made that joke already too.
Darn it.
What is my last parting thought? So the play out song is David Bowie Changes. Because you like Bowie and I like Bowie. We both like Bowie. So I cleared that with you. From Hunky Dory, it's the 2015 remaster version.
Yep.
And I love Hunky Dory. That's my favorite David Bowie album. Mm-hmm. If I have to pick one. My parting thought is, as far as pride goes, I am very proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of the person that you are becoming and continue to become.
Even though I call the cat my son.
Yeah, that's gonna get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, you're intelligent. You are a good student. You care about other people. You're conscious of just world issues, and that's great. I mean, I don't know what else I could ask for, you know, and your sister's like that too. But thank you for being here, and thank you for talking about all this stuff.
Thanks.
It's really cool.
Thanks for doing this.
We didn't talk the whole way down here in the car. We remained silent the whole time.
I was just tired.
We were just both tired.
Yeah.
But I just said no talking until we get to the thing. But yeah. I was joking. But what I do want to tell people is, parents out there, your number one job as a parent is to love and support your children for who they were born to be. So let's do that. And did you just burp after my nice thing?
Yeah.
Let's get on board and do that, people. Yes. Okay?
It's time. But seriously, yes.
It's time. Mm-hmm. All right. Love you very much.
Love you too.
Also, is daughter still a term I can say?
I
Because I do still say that, my daughters.
Sometimes I prefer not, but like...
What do I say then?
I get that everything else sounds very clinical and I don't really... I would never call myself your daughter. I would call myself your kid or your child.
Okay.
But that's... Words like that are more about your relationship with me. Mm-hmm. And so, and less about anything, any of my say in it. And,
right. You
know, I'm 18. Like, it's weird to call me your kid. So, yeah. Like, I'm...
My adult.
Your offspring.
Your offspring. And then what about sister? What happens with
that? Rita calls me her sibling. I did the same thing with Rita where I was like, you know, if you still want to call me your sister, that's fine. But then one day she was like, would you rather I called you my sibling? And I think that also helps when she's talking about me to other people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Rita actually calls me her sibling most of the time.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you say that, that's what she does. Yeah. All right. I'll try to get on board with that. But okay. Thank you for being here. Thank you for talking about all this stuff. I think I actually think it'll be helpful to, like I said,
too.
To other parents or mm-hmm. households that are going through this.
Yeah.
It's just life, people.
Yeah. Trans rights.
So let's listen to Changes by David Bowie. Rock and peace, David Bowie. Thank you, Ezra.
Thank you, Papa.
No.
I call you Papa.
No.
Still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild. A million dead-end streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
There's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. Ooh, yeah.
I watch the ripples change their size, but never leave the stream. Warm and permanent sand, so the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up on out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's the shame you've left us up to her next minute?
Time may change me, but you can't twist time.
Strange fascination.
Changes.
Oh, look out, you rock and roll.